Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck
Now you got me, right? Now you can hear me.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Hey,
sorry about that. I was connecting. It was weird. I had Ben connected, but my computer, it was weird. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway. We are here, though.
That's the big swing, and you can't teach that. And we're going to spell it out for you. This is Monday night. It's our time to party, our time to talk about wrestling. You're tuned in. You're locked on. Here we are.
And look at you over here with your announcing skills. I like it. I'm with it. Let me ask you this then. We're waiting on Jason. Jason's going to be calling in. We got a lot of topics to cover tonight. A lot of topics to go through. We're taking you through the end of Raw, as we always do. TNA is for sale. What are our thoughts and views? Who do we think should buy TNA? Would it be good if Vince were to buy TNA? We'll talk about our favorite Hell in a Cell matches with Hell in a Cell pay-per-view coming up. We're going to be talking a little bit about Kevin Owens. One of our main topics tonight is, and this is a topic I was thinking about on the drive home from New Hampshire earlier today, is Kevin Owens the worst heavyweight champion we've ever had? Now, I know he's technically not the quote-unquote heavyweight champion, but I'm saying he's the equivalent of what the heavyweight champion is for Raw. Is he the worst one we've ever had? And what else we got for main topic here? Is the New Day the best stable ever? The worst stable ever? In my opinion, yes, it goes either way. Well, not okay, not say ever. I'm talking about the best, the worst best stable, if that makes any sense. Okay, like the worst, like major group. Or the best, who knows? Are they the best tag champs we've ever had? And then we're bringing you through the Raw, end of Raw, brought to you by Cage Combat and Logo Warehouse. So, big, big, big show today. A lot of topics. Hopefully, Sexual Chocolate will be calling in soon. Let's start right at the top here, though. TNA is for sale, Icon.
I cannot.
What are your thoughts and views on having TNA potentially be under the name of Vince McMahon?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a good and bad thing about that. The good thing would be if somebody else buys it, they can start with it. Start the Monday Night Wars again. The worst thing that happens, and I'm just going to share it, the worst thing that could happen is if Vince buys it,
that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, that's why I haven't been saying anything. I wasn't sure if you heard it as well.
I hear it now.
This is really weird.
Right,
because doing it.
Give Chris Jericho the pedigree, and the Winnipeg POS has been laid out. Thank you, Seth Rollins. I now like Seth Rollins. Apparently, Chris is speechless with that statement because I would actually say that I like Seth Rollins. However, Kevin Owens just left his partner in the middle ring to be pedigreed by Seth Rollins. What is going on with that? These guys are supposed to be buddies. These guys are supposed to be friends. One leaves the other to rot. Why?
Yeah, they are buddies and friends, though. I mean, they're both Winnipeg POSs, right?
Yeah, but... Kevin Owens just let Chris Jericho get a beating by Seth Rollins. Now, I wonder if this happens to be that Seth Rollins could be hanging out with New Day. That would be the worst of the worst. And they're showing the replay of Lana. For people that did not see this, Lana came out, and I do apologize to our women's fans right away for me saying this, but Lana came out right away on Raw after Roman Reigns, and she walked up, and she's wearing this see-through dress, and you can see just about everything she's wearing underneath. Thank you for doing that, Lana. Now, this whole deal between Seth Rollins and Rusev going into Hell in a Cell, they're saying it's the last time these guys will fight. Now, we've seen the whole last time they fight thing before between Randy Orton and John Cena. So are they just hashing stuff again for Hell in a Cell just because it worked in the past? I think that's bad for business. What do you think? Once again, Chris is speechless. Apparently I'm making a valid point. Now, in case Chris is having mic issues, I'll just go ahead and talk about this. The whole Hell in a Cell thing between Rusev and Roman Reigns in the Roman Empire, I think is a perfect Hell in a Cell match. Are we going to see any blood? Maybe. Is it going to get brutal? Sure. But this is still PG. I still don't understand why they're having Hell in a Cell when there's supposed to be no blood. There's supposed to be a family kid show. So I don't know why they didn't just go with Halloween Havoc. It would have made more sense. However, they're still doing Hell in a Cell. And they can't use chairs, can't use blood. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out.
I still heard that, but apparently you didn't. So,
I didn't hear anything you said.
No. That noise, that like wind flap noise.
Oh, I don't hear it anymore.
Okay. That's good. I do, but if you don't, then then that's good, because if you heard it and I heard it, then it's part of the broadcast. But if only I hear it, then it's something fucked up on my end, which is fine, as long as it's not fucked up on the actual broadcast. So yeah, we were talking a little bit about Hell in a Cell, and we talked about our favorite Hell in a Cell matches. Well, I think anybody who grew up in the time period that I grew up in is going to say, I think it has to be the Mankind Undertaker Hell in a Cell. I think that sort of set the tone for Hell in a Cell, although it was not the most important Hell in a Cell. The most important Hell in a Cell to the Attitude Era, which ushered in the Attitude Era, was the Shawn Michaels Undertaker Hell in a Cell when Kane debuted. But that, people don't really remember that. People remember Mick Foley going, 16 feet off the top of the cage and, getting a tooth through his nose and all that stuff. That's what people seem to remember. So, I mean, obviously I would say that's one of my favorites, but, one hell of a Hell in a Cell, because I watched a lot of Undertaker Hell in a Cells. I watched one with him and Brock Lesnar, one with him and Batista, one with him and Triple H. I mean, I've watched a shitload of them. My favorite Hell in a Cell that Undertaker is in that is not the Mankind one, and Icon, this is probably going to come to no shock to you here, but it's the one, I believe it was 2006, but I'm not positive on that, but it was against Edge in the Hell in a Cell. One of my favorites, and you're probably not surprised. It was at SummerSlam, I believe it was. Yeah.
Right.
It was the SummerSlam Hell in a Cell. It was Undertaker and Edge.
Now, to me, my two favorite Hell in a Cells, one is The Undertaker and Mankind. My God! He's broken in half! I swear!
Well, yeah, that's got to be everybody's.
Yeah, with Jim Ross. But my second favorite is Triple H versus Cactus Jack.
Oh, I have totally forgotten about that one. Yeah, the one where Triple H retires Cactus. Yeah, I totally forgot that one existed. That was a good call. Good call.
Yep. Of course, I remember when they first came up with the concept by Hell in a Cell. I say the bloodiest would have to be Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. I mean, Shawn Michaels walked out of that thing just a mess. Now, this is supposed to be the PGA. I'm sorry, I got the Ryder Cup. I was watching the Ryder Cup all weekend. But this is supposed to be the PG era. And Hell in a Cell is known for cuts, blood, chairs, everything. Are we actually going to possibly see blood in this match? I don't know. What do you think?
I think you almost have to. And, I think they sort of set the tone for they can have blood every once in a while because the thing with Triple H attacked Roman outside the ring and slammed his head into the announce table like 8 or 9 times, that had blood, and, that was for effect, and it worked. So in this kind of match, I think they're going to try to avoid blood as much as possible, but I think it's going to be damn near impossible to completely avoid blood, because, when you're getting thrown, into grating steel, whether you're really hitting it or not, it's going to hurt, you're going to feel it, and eventually you're going to get a piece of skin stuck on it eventually. It's going to happen. So, I don't know.
Well, so far, though, the most blood that we've seen was between Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton. That's the most blood in any match that we've seen. And there's no way with that cut open that Randy Orton cut himself open. He didn't grease himself. I think that was a legitimate blood incident.
Bloodletting, yeah. It had to have been. Because, I don't think, personally, of course, I've never been in MMA. I've never fought MMA, but I just don't think you can bust somebody open that way, the way that he got busted open and bleed like a stuck pig like he did, with just elbows. Now, I could be
wrong.
Well,
the thing is, though, you know, I've been next to Brock Lesnar. I actually had him put me in a, you know, kind of a fake chokehold for a picture. If you look at the bottom of his elbows are like razors. And Randy Orton is not the only one that he's done that to. He's done that to MMA, too. If you remember, he also did it to John Cena by rubbing his elbows across the forehead. Brock Lesnar has got razor-sharp elbows. I've never seen elbows like him.
Yeah, that's...
You know, I don't know if he intentionally roughs them up or what, but there's just something about his elbows that I wouldn't want to come to contact with, you know, especially if he was upset with me, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Oh, real quick question. I'm looking at this here. What, I've been going in and out of, because it's been boring me tonight. What was that list that Jericho and Owens had earlier?
Okay. Now, Jericho started this list last week. It's called the Jericho List. He puts people on the list that has upset him and that he wants to put on a list. Okay? Like, last week he put the cameraman on the list. He put the crowd on the list, the crowd from last week on the list. It's just this whole stupid Jericho thing. I don't know if you remember back in the day when he was on WCW when one of the radicals, the Man of a Thousand Holds.
Whoa. Wow. Death just dropped a bomb.
What happened?
Death Rollins just dropped a bomb on Stephanie.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, just... You'll hear it. Oh, my God. He said something. She pulls off the... I look pissed off and I'm on my period look more than, like better than anybody else. I mean, look at the way she...
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping up with my Vikings at the same time.
No, it's fine. Well, here, I'll just tell you what he said. So, he was like, Stephanie, you can't tell me what to do anymore or how I'm going to run in this business anymore. He goes, you can't tell me. He goes, you lost that privilege ever since your husband came in and stabbed me in the back and screwed me over in the match. He goes, and made the second worst decision of his life. Well, she goes, well, what? He goes, actually, it was right up there with the first decision. And she goes, well, what was the first worst decision? He goes, marrying you. Seth. Wow.
Oh, my God.
So this is really setting up for Seth to, like we predicted, for Seth to have, like, a face turn type of thing. Like, wow. So anyway, but back to what we were saying. Yeah, I think we'll see blood. I think we'll see blood. I don't think you can have... I mean, I think you can have a Hell in a Cell without it. I don't think you can have a good Hell in a Cell match without it. I don't think
right.
you can have a believable Hell in a Cell match without it. Because just the match itself, I mean, people are going to bleed. I mean, if you hit the thing, it's I don't know.
You know, I'll tell you, there's one thing I want to mention about Raw that's been just pissing me off the last several weeks.
What?
I'm sick of seeing Strowman beat up on a scrub. I'm sick of seeing it. It doesn't do anything for Raw. It doesn't do anything for Strowman. And it doesn't do anything for the guys he's beaten up either. Either put him in matches so he'll do something, or get him off the television. Don't keep putting him out in front here against a nobody just to, just to show that he can beat somebody up. I'm sick of seeing it. It's not helping things at all.
No, no, it's not. And I don't think they have a game plan for him right now, honestly. So,
well, then send him back with the rest of the guys.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think one of the biggest
is that another pick?
Made,
yeah, it was.
Yeah, one of the biggest mistakes they made was splitting up the Wyatt family. I mean, I'm sorry. If that's what you're, you know, and Bray Wyatt, I like these mind games that he's doing with
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, yeah. I'm sorry, folks, I have a bad toothache, and it's just really killing me. That's why if you hear me pause, it's not because I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's because it hurts so bad when I talk. But I love the mind games.
You have a cold or something?
However, what they need to do is, you know, they need to keep that angle going for a while. They can't just drop it after the next pay-per-view. Because what else are you going to do with Bray Wyatt afterward? Have him do mind games with somebody else? People are going to get sick of that angle.
Well,
I mean,
that's all he's done anyway. And, Jason, I know you're listening. I just went to go click on you, and you dropped off, so Jason, give us a shout back in when you get a chance.
Well, Jason hasn't finished his bowl of videos yet. You know, of all three of us, he's the only guy that's ever bought a box.
Excuse me, the league. I got football on. Since he's been in the business, I mean that's what the Wyatts do. Ever since he became the Wyatts, that's what they do. And so, I mean, he's gonna do that regardless, but.
And I also got to say that, you know, you mentioned you're watching football. Minnesota just had they just intercepted Manning. They're plus 10 on takeaway giveaway this year.
Huh.
The defense is. But, you know, I got to join your guys' sports show so we can talk about that. I know I'm getting off topic again, but, you know.
Okay.
I mean, you guys have a whole show dedicated to the Dallas Cowboys. We need to get a show dedicated to the Minnesota Vikings. But anyway, that's just my opinion. Anyhow, I love the mind games that Bray Wyatt does. And with Randy Orton, they're actually kind of coexisting back and forth. The whole deal with Bray Wyatt, The Undertaker, and Kane, that didn't work very well. Who else has he messed with that didn't work? See, that's the whole point. There hasn't been anybody else that's worked with except for Randy Orton, because they play off each other the way that this is going. So they need to do something.
By the way, we got Jason here with us tonight too. By the way.
Oh, hey, Jason! Did you finish your booty-os?
Yeah, I finished my booty-os, and it looks like Eli didn't have his booty-os tonight.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Sorry. Yeah, you guys, I probably should do this. I should watch Monday Night Football when we're talking about wrestling, but, you know.
Oh, no, I just got in not too long ago, and I'm flipping back and forth with the channels. The only thing I caught a raw was the whole, you know, New Day versus Canadian DX. So that was quite entertaining.
Well, the only thing about booty-os is depends on how you interpret it. Because technically you could say that the Giants ate several bowls of booty-os before this game because they're playing like booty. So you never know. You never know. It depends on how you interpret things. But anyways, Jason, we had a big show today. We're in the process of having a big show today. Started off with the TNA for sale debate. We kind of got off of that for a minute, but we were waiting for you. It was your topic. We talked about with Hell in a Cell pay-per-view coming up, our favorite Hell in a Cell matches. What are some of our favorite Hell in a Cell matches? Main topics tonight would be Kevin Owens. Is he the worst champion ever? Now, when I say champion, I don't mean overall champion. I say, like, world champion. Now, I know the Universal Champion is not the World Heavyweight Champion, but it's the equivalent of it for the Raw brand. So, is he the worst heavyweight champion? And does him being the quote-unquote Universal Champion make it even worse? Because, I mean, what the hell is a Universal Champion, you know? We have the New Day. Now, this is a question that I had posed to Icon. Is New Day the top stable ever now? Or are they the worst, best stable ever, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, I
never are they,
that question. But
are they a modern-day DX?
Entertainment value? You know, honestly, you know, they remind me of a modern-day, maybe a little bit more charismatic Edge and Christian. I wouldn't say DX, I would say Edge and Christian.
Okay.
I'd have
three of them, but yeah. Okay. Well, are they the best tag team champions of all time?
Well, the record books would say yes, but me, I'm more of a traditional tag team. I don't think you could have, you know, the Freebirds. I never liked that whole three-man tag team thing. So I would, you know, I'll be more of a traditionalist. I would say, in my opinion, the greatest tag team ever would be the Hart Foundation.
Oh, okay.
I would agree with that. Now, the interesting thing, you know, you mentioned three-member tag teams, okay? Now, what's funny is the New Day, they are going to hold the title until they break
Demolition.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Demolition had three guys, if you remember. Axe, Mask, and Crush.
True. But that was later on, though. That was more later on.
Right. But I think New Day, they're the best of the worst. And I'll explain that. They are one of the best tag teams for how long they've held the titles, but they're the worst in entertainment value. The most entertaining tag team would have to be probably the Rockers.
Well, the only thing with the Rockers never really held the tag team title. That's the one discredit for that. They were great.
They did win it, but they were stripped.
Right. They were a great tag team, but, you know, they never held the titles. I mean, even the Miz held tag team title.
But when you mention the Hart Foundation, I'd say that's probably one of the, if not the, best tag team champions ever. Next to Edge and Christian. Yes, I know I just said it. I have to give kudos to Edge and Christian. They were, for their time, the best in the business. I would say that the 80s and mid-90s have the Hart Foundation, mid-90s to when they broke up, Edge and Christian, that was theirs.
So, I guess in my opinion, watching a lot of this, would you guys say, then, stable-wise, would you say that they are... They're not necessarily considered a stable, are they? Because I know that technically DX was a stable, you know, the ministry, there was the corporation, there was McMahon, Helmsley regime, whatever. Would you consider them a stable, or would you just consider them a three-man tag team?
I'll let Jason answer that first.
That's a good question. I would just consider them a great tag team. I wouldn't really consider them a stable.
I wouldn't. I'd say halfway there. But if you want to say a team that's put their mark on the tag team division, probably not. You know, remember they were supposed to break up after they got done with their fight with Elias. That never happened. So what's going to happen, and I said this before, they're going to keep the titles until they break the record, and then they'll lose it, and then they'll all split, you know?
But that's the thing. I don't really see them losing it to anybody unless they turn them back to heels, and they're probably not going to do that because I don't see them losing. The club, definitely, they're just not getting the belt. End Zone Cast, maybe the Rising Stars, Epico, you know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it is going to be Cesaro and Sheamus when taking the straps off of them.
Well, now the thing about Cesaro and Sheamus, they were kind of feuding when they were kind of fighting when they came in. Of course, that could be just play too, but. You know, that, like I said before, that each other, but we're tag team champions. I don't know. You guys can record on that if you want. I didn't lose both of you guys, did I?
No. I'm here. I was messaging back. Jeremy had something with his work schedule that he had to do. Let me ask you this then, Icon.
Yeah.
In terms of stables, are we going to see the era of stable wrestling again? For instance, something like the corporation. I mean, I know they sort of tried to do the corporation a little bit with Stephanie and Hunter earlier when they formed the Authority. But obviously, the corporation was a big group and had several members. Are we going to see anything like that, or do you think that we? Or do you think that we are sort of moved out of those times?
Well, I think the era of factions is over.
Why is that?
I mean, the WWE has had a history of great factions: DX, the Corporation, the Ministry, the Corporate Ministry, the Hart Foundation. Who am I missing? The Shield. The NWO. I mean, those days of factions is gone. I mean, even throw in Nation of Domination. The era where you see 10, 15 guys together trying to reign over the corporation. The company is done. They can't ever go back to that. It's been played out. It's done. It's over with.
Well, okay. So are we going to see, because I think the last big quote-unquote faction or last big stable or whatever terminology you want to use for it, I guess would be, what would it be? Nexus was the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Nexus.
So, and we're probably not going to see another Nexus again either.
No.
So I don't know. I mean, I like it. I liked the idea of doing that. I thought maybe the Wyatt family was going to be sort of like the next stable for us. But, especially when they added Daniel Bryan and then they were doing some of those things, I thought for sure we were going to get some of that action out of them, but I guess not. Let me ask you guys this then. New Day, in terms of being a group, okay, let's not necessarily call them a faction or a stable, because let's be real, they're not a faction or a stable. We just went over that. But are they among the best? You would think, because I know I already asked this, but are they like up there when you think of tag teams that had three people that would rotate? Like for instance, DX, sometimes it was Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, sometimes it was Billy Gunn and Xbox, sometimes it was Road Dogg and Xbox, sometimes it was whatever. But do you think that New Day ranks up there with those three guys in terms of rotational fighters, or no?
I would say, only because their styles are very, he's a high flyer, he's the brute, they're both charismatic, it works, Xavier Woods, he's actually a decent wrestler, he doesn't get a lot of credit for that, but I would say it's up there in terms of in-ring skills, yeah.
With what Jesus said, I can't disagree with that. New Day they are a great tag team in their right. They are. But when it comes to saying that are they the best trio? No. I think it's more because of the PG thing that they come out and they entertain. And they throw out boxes of bootios, but I think that's basically all they are. And they're only holding on to the title so they can break the records. And hopefully, this whole deal I remember WCW when they were going when they were falling in the ratings. Their title changed hands 12 times in a month and a half. I mean, think about that. 12 times in a month and a half.
True.
New Day has been champions for 400 plus days. Do we want to keep seeing that? No.
I haven't wanted to see New Day. I got to see New Day after 6 months. Okay, much less. You know, much less 400 days. So, I mean, obviously, like you said, I think they probably want to just break the record with them and then maybe have them drop it. But like Jason said last week, maybe it's time to move on from Gallows and Anderson. I mean, who could they give the belts to at this point?
Yeah, that's the problem. I think that's the problem.
Well, I think with Sheamus and Cesaro, I think they would make a great tag team together. If they would, if they would work together, I think they would be a great tag team. I mean, that whole, best of seven, that showed both their toughnesses and how good of wrestlers they are. Should it have ended in a tie? No. Going in all along, that they didn't want to show that one guy was better than the other. They're both good wrestlers. They both have good matches. Why not let's put them together in a tag team and see what they can do? I think they would make great tag team champions. But they don't get along, which brings a better element to it. Would you rather have two guys that dislike each other and don't trust each other as tag team champions, always trying to outdo the other guy? Or are you going to have guys like New Day that come out and dance and throw out boxes of cereal to the fans? And play a trumpet or trombone or whatever the hell he is, you know? I mean, what would you rather see? I think it would be more interesting to have two guys as tag team champions that don't like each other.
But you got to remember, you got to remember what drives Vince happy is the sales of merchandise. That's why Cena is always, that's why they never turn Cena heel, because he's always selling out merchandise. And it seems like New Day is taking on that Cena role. Like, nobody else in the singles competitors is up there in terms of merchandise sales, and it's just New Day between the Julios and the shirt. Every time I go to an arena, no matter where, it's always New Day shirts I'm seeing, more so than Cena or anybody else. So I think that's why Vince hasn't pulled the plug on New Day just yet.
Well, speaking of that real quick, guys, and I know this is a topic I know we didn't talk about that we were going to talk about, but Cena having a chance to become the 16-time world champion. Should they do it? Yes or no?
He'll do it, but it won't be this Sunday.
It won't be this Sunday?
I think I think AJ holds on to it.
Do you think AJ even deserves to get it at this point? Because I'm still torn on that.
I don't think he's a very good champion. He's not a very interesting champion. I think really what they should have did, and this is my opinion, they should have kept AJ on Raw and put him with the Authority. He fits in much better with them than Kevin Owens does. What do you guys think?
I like where AJ is. I think the mistake they made was splitting him up with the club. They should have been a stable running SmackDown. Letting John Cena and Dean Ambrose chase them. Because they'll they'll make a better tag team champions over there over than Rhino and Clemens.
Well, the whole deal with Rhino and Mister, I just bought a trailer, a double wide, and I now have an above ground pool with people swimming it and fishing it. I mean, Rhino and Heath Slater, that's the worst tag team combination in history. And there's been a lot
that's
of...
That's a bold statement.
There's been a lot of bad tag teams. I mean, the Bushwhackers. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the Bushwhackers. Sorry. I love the Bushwhackers, but they were a hose tag team. They never held the title
speaking of this, champs, singles Oscar Van Hatter, he's out there at Staples tonight. Somebody in that room?
We missed that. You were kind of breaking up there. Or kind of muffled.
No, I'm just saying that Bella Hill is at Raw.
I miss Brock Lesnar, honestly.
You know what, guys? I got a quick question. I got a good question. Looking back now, with the draft order of Raw and SmackDown, it seems like SmackDown outdid them. If you consider everything in terms of the top five picks for Raw, they're not even champ. It's Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens was like the 10th pick.
Yeah, that's true. Although their number one pick was the champion at the time of the pick, though.
No, he still. What was it, Dean?
Wasn't their first pick Rollins?
It was Rollins, but Dean had the title.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. Huh. Okay, so yeah, I don't know then. I don't know. Maybe. I think they should have kept it with Dean, because, I mean, I don't know. Dean, in my opinion, Dean was a good champion. He really was.
Well, here's the thing. That's what, you know, Jason, you had said that AJ Styles would retain the title. I think it would be more interesting, for the WWE writer that's listening to this show right now, here's your upcoming match. AJ Styles loses the belt back to Dean Ambrose, and Dean Ambrose and John Cena fight it out for the next month. There you go. Because since he's that close to becoming the 16-time world champion, I don't think that him winning a three-way title match is how to give it to him. You let Dean Ambrose win the title. Bam. Next pay-per-view, John Cena beats Dean Ambrose. Pay-per-view, AJ Styles and John Cena go after it. There you go. There's your lineup for the next three pay-per-views.
Guys, answer this while I'm out. I got to step away for 1 second. But ask you this. Is Kevin Owens the best or the worst world champion equivalent we've ever had in professional wrestling, and why? And I gotta step away. I'll be right back.
Hey, Jason, you want to answer that first? You want me to?
I don't think he's the worst. I've seen worse. I thought the Miz reign was pretty bad. I thought who also had bad title reign.
Well, I'll tell you, you're right. Kevin Owens is not the worst champion in history. The two worst champions in history were David Arquette.
There you
and,
go. Yep. I remember that.
David Arquette, if you remember, got beat by, what's his name? The writer. The jackass. What the hell was his name?
Oh, man. I know. Damn it. I know what you're talking about.
Vince Russo. Those were your two worst champions in history. Kevin Owens has got those guys beat.
Yeah.
But of course, that's Vince, not saying much.
Even when Vince won the title, it wasn't bad.
Well, yeah, do you remember who Vince beat?
Yeah, he beat Stone Cold.
No, he beat Triple H.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, he beat his son-in-law. Well, it wasn't a son-in-law then, but I'll tell you what, though. Yeah, David Arquette and Vince Russo were the worst champions we've ever seen.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to agree with that.
And I'll say this, though. You know, when it comes to tag team champions, probably the coolest idea for tag team champions, versus my humble opinion, Scott Steiner and Judy Bagwell.
Okay, remember that.
That was the funkiest tag team champion combination ever. And I love that combination.
I remember that.
Yeah, I just remember they won it on a Judy Bagwell on a forklift match. And if
they
just
like they like lack creativity nowadays.
Right, and if Buff Bagwell is listening, brother, I love you, I miss you, and I hope you'll be coming down to you'll be coming back to Fargo soon, because I love hanging out with you when you're down here. Okay, so there's my little speech. No, Kevin Owens being the worst champion, I don't think so. I can't say that. I don't like him as champion, but I can't say that he's the worst.
I don't think the whole thing with Kevin Owens, he just needs more time to bubble. I think he's just fine, because he's pretty much a placeholder. He's holding the title, so Finn Balor get back, and then somehow they're going to move off of Kevin Owens and put it on Finn. And I don't know what his WrestleMania opponent would be. You know, he's still got a long way to go. But this is a Balor should be back by the end of the so I expect him to get that push in the title back then.
Right. I can't disagree with that. But you know, here's another thing that we could talk about. Then we'll get the big swings thoughts on it. How long do you think Owens is going to retain the title? That's another question.
I think he's holding on to it until at least Royal Rumble.
How long?
Because I don't think Seth is going to. Seth's not going to get the title anytime soon. And whenever he moves off of Kevin Owens, he's running right into Triple H. So that's going to be his next feud. Roman Reigns has the United States title. I don't know what they're really trying to do with that. And I really can't see anybody else taking it off of. Maybe we might actually, they kind of tease it a little bit tonight. Maybe later down the line we might get a, okay, Giants waking up. Maybe we might get a, what you call it, we might get a Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens title match.
Yeah, you know, speaking of, I don't know if you had a chance to, did you hear the bomb that Seth Rollins dropped on Stephanie McMahon? Did you hear that?
Oh,
Did we decide Kevin Owens is the worst?
No,
no.
He's not. We kind of nailed it down to three of who we think is the worst champions ever. David
Who's
Arquette,
that?
Vince Russo, or Vince McMahon. Those are the three that we figured were a lot worse.
Okay. Okay. How about like long-standing superstars? Like for instance, if you're gonna take one of the superstars, because none of those guys were really superstars. McMahon was the owner. Arquette was a guest guy. You know, whatever. So I mean, out of an active roster superstar, is Kevin Owens the worst?
No. Miz had a bad title run.
That's right, The Miz, too. Well, I thought The Miz was the most must-see WWE champion in history.
I have no idea how he was able to retain the title at WrestleMania. That's something that's just, he will live in infamy right there. But I would say he's the worst. I think Kevin Owens has really never worked it right now, because we all know, like outside my time, we all know that Seth Rollins can't get the title, but you're hanging off a feud with the league, so. And Roman Reigns is busy with Rusev, and there's really no one else to maybe Jericho turn on him.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you what, that just gave me an idea for a great tag team match. The Miz and his wife versus Rusev and Lana. Now, that would be a hell of a tag match.
You know, I completely forgot that this Sunday is no mercy. This is a new thing. It's really hard to keep up.
So let me ask you guys this then, too. Why are we having a main event that's a women's match?
There you go. That tells you everything you need to know about the roster situation.
Well, I'll tell you exactly why. Because of what I said before, the best storyline, the best angle on this entire program is the storyline going on in the women's division right now with Charlotte and Sasha. That's hands down the best storyline right now. So that's why we have a main event the way we have it. I don't think I remember a women's main event in quite some time, actually. So
that's just true.
Unless it's
Lita and Trish.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't they have a women's main event about a month ago or so? We were talking about that, how they ended with a women's match.
Well, yeah, the same two women.
Okay.
But
yeah, they did it a couple months ago. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, we were wondering what Raw was thinking by doing that. You know,
I hate to talk for like 2 seconds real quick, but I'm watching I'm pretty much watching the Giants game, waiting for the women's match, and they just scored, and I'm really watching the other side of the A team like the Giants, a team like the Cowboys, a team that can, move the ball, can beat them. So I'm not ready to anoint the Vikings as, the NFC.
It's like, is it me or did Sasha redo her hair? Her hair looks a little bit less ratty. It looks, like, more fresh today. Like I think the fade, I think Sasha's hair was starting to fade, mm-hmm. the color in it, and now it looks a lot fresher.
Oh, like, they're in L.A. They're in Hollywood.
And is it me or... is the outfit that Charlotte is wearing make her look very Amazon-ish?
It does. It does.
Do you guys remember the Glamazon, Beth Phoenix?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Baby Mama.
Yeah, she...
Who?
She's married to...
she's on Ed. She's Ed's wife now.
I'm just saying, I never thought she was that hot. I mean, she was a fucking monster, but I never thought she was that hot, you know?
Well,
but she was good.
Yeah.
She was a good wrestler, for sure.
Yeah. But, I remember when she was with Santino Marella, I thought that was kind of a weird thing, you know?
Hmm.
But the other thing, big swing that we were talking about, when you were... we were talking about how the New Day is kind of a quirky tag team champions. We kind of, I started topping on this. The quirkiest, best tag team champions, in my opinion, was Scott Steiner and Judy Bagwell when they were the tag team champions.
Huh. Yeah, I could see it.
And like I said, I don't know if our friend Buff is listening or not, but Buff's a great guy, you know, and I hope he comes back to my hometown sometime soon.
Fargo, well, yeah, he's coming back next year to that Maui Madness thing in Fargo.
Yep.
So, now, just a quick recap, or not recap, but a quick news update, rather. We've been working on Booker for a while, but his people are stubborn. We are working on getting Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, to come onto the show and do sort of like a Buff-style interview. So hopefully that all works out. I know that Scott Hall has recently had some issues, rehab, different things like that. He's had some alcohol abuse issues and whatnot. So I don't know exactly the... But,
go ahead.
No, I said I don't really know the status of how Scott Hall is going to be, but I know Nash should be fine to come on.
Yeah. Speaking of Scott Hall, this was one other thing I wanted to talk about. I just bought the new Scott Hall DVD that was put out by the WWE, Scott Hall on the Razor's Edge. And it's chronicles his life in the business. And it's probably one of the best WWE DVDs that have come out in recent years. It's a great story. It's a sad story. Everybody knows how I've kind of tried to model my hair and looks after Scott Hall because he's always been one of my heroes. I'll tell you, I hope that we can get him on because there's many things I'd like to ask him. Like, can I come down and hang out with you in Miami? That would be one thing. I mean,
that would be, that would be.
Would you like to hang out with Scott Hall just one day?
I'd like to drink with him.
Exactly. Cool.
But, but he, didn't he just get into an incident on an airplane or something?
I heard something about that, yeah. But, I think it was all, I think it was all blown
like
out of
speculation or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because right now, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Scott Hall is currently training NXT guys.
Any word on Kurt Angle?
Yeah, they keep teasing the fact that he's coming back, but when? You know, or is he just too old now to come back? Of course, how many times has Ric Flair shown his head? You know.
So watching this match here, taking you through the end of Raw, brought to you by Cage Combat and Logo Warehouse. This is a combat recap. I like it, but is it bad that every time I watch a women's match, like, the only thing I'm really looking for is, like, a wardrobe malfunction? like, for instance, in the compromising position that the ladies are in at the moment, I'm looking for, like, a lip slip, like, I'm looking for, like, a cooch shot, you know what I'm saying? Like, a cooter shot, or, like, I'm looking for, like, a nip slip or something, you know, like is that bad? Like, right there, that view, I'm looking for, like, something to slot, you know, slip out by accident or something. I don't know if, you know, that'll ever happen because it is cable television, but that's sort of what I'm looking for.
Well, you know, kind of like Lana coming out today so you can see her white thong as she's walking into the ring, you know?
Oh, yeah, Jason missed that, yeah.
I think that's as close as we'll get today, but...
She did the old Stacey Keibler when she used to go through the ring, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man, what's that?
Yeah, Lana did the old Stacey Keibler thing where she steps through the ropes and then kind of does the, you know, the slow step through so you can see all up in there. Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys noticed it. I don't know how if you guys noticed this or not, but when Lana was talking, she lost her accent 3 times.
Yeah. Well, she's not actually Russian, so,
her first thing she did was a porn flick, so, I mean, you know.
Oh, was it really?
Maybe I shouldn't say that. We're on the air here, but, of course, we have no FCC, so who cares? But, if you Google Lana, you'll see some stuff she's done in the past. Now that was an interesting move down by Charlotte doing the over the knee into the ropes thing. Now that was interesting.
That was interesting.
Yeah, and for those of you guys who are not watching Monday Night Football because you'd rather listen to us, the Vikings just scored again. It's going to be 24-10 here.
Was it a passing or a rushing touchdown?
Rushing touchdown.
Rushing. What was it? Matt Asiata?
No, it was. It was Jared.
The other little guy that. Yeah, McKinnon. Okay. So 24-10 in the fourth.
Yeah.
All right. So the Dallas Cowboys will be if Philly loses Sunday, they'll be tied for first. Nice.
Well, Phil. Hey, wait a second. Philly is not going to lose on Sunday. Because I know who the quarterback is, a good friend of mine.
Oh, Carson Wentz. So basically, because Carson Wentz is the quarterback, they're going 16-0 and winning the Super Bowl?
Hey, look, he's got three national
I mean,
champions.
I'll give you this. The kid's a gamer. The kid's a gamer for sure, but their schedule gets brutal down the stretch. So,
yeah.
I mean, we'll see what he has, you know.
No, wait, he's got 4 national championship rings to his credit. He's got 4 of them. I've watched him play his whole career in college.
But that's
I hear you. Now, Charlotte might actually be taller than her father.
She is.
She is? Because she really looks, like, huge in there. Like, she really does. Like, she looks, I mean, maybe Sasha's little, but Charlotte looks massive. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You know, here's something else. I don't know if anybody ever said this or mentioned this or if anybody cares, but of Ric Flair's, I don't know how many times he's been married or how many mistresses he's had, but who's the mother of Charlotte?
I don't know. I mean, do you know when you're quizzing us or are you asking us?
I'm asking you guys.
Oh, I have no idea. I'm sure we could find it on Wikipedia. I'm sure if you Google it, it would come right up. But I don't think she's famous, nor do I think she's involved with wrestling at all.
Right.
But based on the size of Charlotte, maybe she played basketball or something. Or maybe it was like an Olympic hurdler. I don't know.
Yep.
Now, I missed the beginning of this match. Is this a title match or no?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for the title. It's for the title.
Oh,
yeah.
It is. Okay. Okay.
Now, is Charlotte taller than Stacey Keibler?
Is Charlotte what? Say that again, Ika.
Is Charlotte taller than Stacey Keibler is, too?
Yes. Stacey Keibler is 5'11". I mean, barely. She's, like, basically the same. Charlotte, I believe, is 6 foot, maybe 6'1", with shoes on. But Stacey Keibler's only 5'11". But Stacey wasn't a wrestler. I mean, Charlotte looks like a refrigerator compared to Stacey Keibler. So, because Stacey was more of, like, a body than she was, you know, she was more of, like, eye candy than she was an actual fighter. But let me see here. Let me look this up. Let me look it up. Charlotte. All right, guys. Charlotte is 5'10". It says she's 5'10". So okay. Stacey Keibler. Wait a minute. So Keibler actually might be. Yeah, it says Stacey Keibler is an inch taller. Wow. See, I thought Charlotte was over 6.
Well, no,
I thought
saying.
Charlotte
I thought,
was over 6.
I thought Stacey Keibler was taller. You know, because you got to remember Stacey Keibler is mostly leg. You know.
Hold on.
See, and the deal is, of course, Ric Flair is her natural father. David Flair is her half brother, and Reed Flair was her true brother.
So yeah, 5'10" compared to 5'11". You guys want to know what Sasha Banks is?
How tall is she?
Let me look it up. Hang on. Sasha Banks. Hey, Mercedes Stephanie Bernardo is. Pull it up. What the fuck? I hate technology. 5'4". So,
okay. So
and she's
I,
also
I
only
out.
She's also only 24 years old.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And I did find I did find out the answer to our question, well, my question. Her mother is Elizabeth Flair. I believe that was Ric Flair's third wife, I think. And, of course, we all know the sadness that she lost her true brother, Reed. He passed. And she's half-brothers to David. So that's the Charlotte family history right there. For anybody who cared and wanted to know, I just found. Or did I go to our?
Hello.
Yes.
So, guys, predictions here. What's her name there? The other blonde, does she get involved?
Well, of course, you got to save Charlotte's title, you know.
Dana Brooke, that's her name. Dana Brooke get involved? Oh, bank statement.
And she's
right in the middle of the ring.
Oh, so close. You know, as I'm looking at that...
Yo, is this... She's tapping.
Oh, wow.
I think her hair is a little lighter, now that you mention it.
It is. It was like more of a red color before. Now it's got more pink and stuff in it.
Yep.
Yeah. So the defending titles on Raw now. That's nice. Because, I mean, shit, why can't they defend a world title on Raw?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're never gonna see the Universal title defended on Raw.
It's too big for Raw.
I guess, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's something interesting. Now, here's another point topic. Since we're only into the last hour of the show here. Okay, Raw has the Cruiserweight title and it's exclusive to Raw. Don't you think that SmackDown should get a title that's exclusive to them?
Now, I have a question though. Oh, actually, no. Let Jason finish, and I have another question for
I'm
Icon
gonna
here, because he might know this.
I'm going to say maybe, but then what title would it be? So I don't know.
You know, it's like, well, you don't bring back the European title, because you know they're never going to bring back the Hardcore title.
That's true.
I mean, we'd all admit it. You guys want to see the Hardcore title come back, right?
Oh, hell yeah. But we'll never see that with the PG.
Yeah.
And that's why
we'll never see Hardcore. Okay, wait. So hold on, end this match with Charlotte reverses it. Goes it down. She's able to okay. Now did she tap? That's the thing. I'm looking at yep, she did. The move actually does look like it hurts.
It looks like it hurts, yeah.
Like I mean I know Charlotte's technical, but why does she do this every time she loses? She cries every time she loses like a brat. I mean, look at her. She's like a spoiled child.
Hey, but now, you do gotta go.
How many times has Charlotte been a champ?
Three times now.
If she keeps losing it and then winning it back and losing it and then winning it back, won't she pass Trish's mark pretty soon? So that's what Trish helps the most.
Possible. But you know what, like we said earlier, this makes for a great rivalry when you beat each other back and forth for the title. We haven't seen things like this since maybe like Mankind and The Rock.
Yeah, true. Well, do you think that do you think that perhaps they're trying to work as quickly as possible here? They're trying to get Charlotte up like where her dad was and possibly have her be 13, 14, 15 time champion, you think?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's definitely possible.
It would make sense.
Although she's starting her career much later, though. I mean, Ric Flair was in WWE and WCW and stuff at a much earlier age than she's coming in and starting. I mean, Charlotte's already 30.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying Charlotte's already 30. A lot of wrestlers, like, I mean, Sasha Banks is 24. Okay, maybe, and if she's 25, she just turned. So, you know, so I mean, it's...
Hey, Charlotte, you bluffed. You just tapped out.
Huh?
Am I that far behind you guys?
Yeah, you're far back.
Okay.
Wait, what are you watching?
I just saw the tap out.
Oh, yeah, you are a little behind the eight ball, huh?
How about this for an idea? Okay, now I know that the WWE writers are listening right now. How about this for an idea? Okay, you have Charlotte win, lose. When she's ready to go for her 16th, that's when John Cena gets his. Then Ric Flair makes his return. Think about that. Let that kind of jump around in your mind for a second. What do you think? Or am I off my rocker on that?
Oh, you're not. Oh, I was waiting for Jason to answer. No, I don't think you're off your rocker at all. I think you're pretty on spot on. So
I mean, it would make more sense to have that.
It would. Faux show. Looking at some of what we're talking about here, guys, with our topics. The last thing we didn't talk about was the TNA being for sale. Now, I don't know if you guys mentioned it when I had to step away briefly, but TNA being for sale, there's been rumors and things swirling around that Vince McMahon might be the one to end up buying TNA. Well,
would that be bad?
Would that be bad for what they used to say, best for business? Would that not be best for business?
Well, no, because the WWE can't, it would be like when they bought WCW. They'll keep a select few guys, and they won't keep the right guys, and then, it'll be over, You guys, I don't know if you guys feel the same way I do, but when I heard that Vince McMahon bought WCW, I knew that our fun days in wrestling competition was over. And it has been.
He wants to buy it for the tape lockers. And that would actually make great sense if you think about it. If he wants to promote AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and these guys, you're showing where they came from.
It's a win-win. Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. Back when Monday night was wrestling night, and here's the deal. I grew up. When I had cable in Fargo here. USA Network was Channel 7. TNT was Channel 9. So what I used to do is I used to have the little thing. I used to be able to flip the channel back and forth. And everybody got ticked off at me because I would do that. So I started recording Raw and watching Nitro because it was live. Okay? We are never going to have this again. TNA, I know they don't compete against the WWE, but it's really going to put an end to wrestling because... Once a wrestler gets fired, there's no place for him to go. And if you have a favorite wrestler that gets fired, you're never going to be able to see him because he'll probably go to Japan. You see why this is a bad idea? Am I putting you guys to sleep or what?
No. I'm here. I'm just dealing with guys can't do the shows later on this week. They have other obligations, so they're blowing me up here on Facebook, and I'm doing three things at once here. Well, here's my thing, though. Can you say that again?
You need somebody to fill in? Is that what you're saying?
No. I need to know. I need to know if we're even doing one, because because I had topics planned out solely around New England and they're New England fans, and I was going to kind of troll them about losing 16-0 to the Bills, but I don't know if that's going to happen now. But for sure, though, if we do end up doing the show, I definitely will give you a shout icon to fill in, because we definitely will need another person, because right now it's Jason and I, and Jason works during the day, so he can't always call in right away. So, but anyways,
I work too.
Well, that's true. You both do. Well, either way, I'll keep you posted if we do end up needing anything. But real quick, so if well, if like, let's say Vince does buy TNA, now Cody is back employed again by the company that he just left. I mean, does that end somebody like Cody Rhodes' wrestling career if he leaves on such bad terms?
Yeah, of course. Because, remember, Vince has a very long memory when it comes to guys that have left him or, you know, Vince McMahon has a big heart of giving somebody a second chance. However, the whole deal with Cody Rhodes is too recent. And I don't think Vince McMahon has forgot that yet. Although I would love to see Cody Rhodes come back, I don't think Vince would forgive him that quick.
The thing is, I think it would really hurt too much because I think Cody, Ryback, all these guys left before the brand split, and they would actually have to work for them and a place for them. So I think people would come cool ahead with him, you know? It's all business. And Vince, you know, acquiring that will just throw more money at Cody.
With CM Punk basically getting his dick kicked in the octagon and just embarrassing himself on pay-per-view television, do you think CM Punk throws in the white flag and comes back to wrestling? Because, I mean, he's got to make money somehow, right?
I don't know if he's... I don't know. That's a tough one.
Okay, what about you?
Well, I don't think CM Punk is cut out for MMA. I mean, we just...
Saw that. He proved that to us, yeah.
But is CM Punk going to be mad enough to swallow his pride and come back? Is Vince McMahon willing to bury the hatchet and let CM Punk come back? Because I believe if CM Punk comes back, we may see AJ Lee back. I would love to see CM Punk return. I mean, like you said, he got junk punched in his man business at MMA.
But the way CM Punk left, do you think he gets a good reception from the fans? Or do you think the fans sort of boo him because not only did he leave WWE very suddenly and very dirty, well, not dirty, but like it got kind of heated, but also he sucks in MMA. So it's like, okay, you leave us to go to MMA, and then, you know, you get your ass kicked, and now you're coming back, and we could have had so much good television for the last 3 years, and we haven't been able to have it. So, I mean, you know, do you think he gets a good reception if he does come back?
Well, he was always a fan favorite, you know.
Well, yeah, but the way he left, I mean, he basically said screw you to the fans. I mean, he said screw you to everybody for the most part. I mean, he basically was like, hey, you know, I thank people for cheering me, but I don't give a fuck about the fans, you know, and just left. I mean, if he cared that much about the fans, he would have maybe tried to stick it out, maybe tried to, you know, work with them a little bit or something, or I don't know. I don't know exactly what could have been done. I wasn't in the situation, but I know that, you know, I think, speaking of cooler heads prevailing, cooler heads may have been able to prevail in this situation if Vince wasn't such a stubborn, you know, stubborn hardhead and they CM Punk. So, you know, who knows?
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, when it comes to stuff like that with the fans have a very short memory on that kind of stuff. I mean, look how many times The Rock has left and come back and been, you know, I know.
True.
I know CM Punk is not on the same caliber as the Rock, obviously, but it's like, you know, I think the fans will have a very short memory and not remember the reason why he left.
True.
So, and let me ask you this. Do you guys think he deserves a second chance? I do.
Well, is there, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm sort of with you on it. I'm with you and against you on it. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, do you think,
see here. What was the question? I was trying to phrase here. I was trying to phrase it properly here. Let me think here. CM Punk. It was a CM Punk question. Now I'm trying to remember what the hell it was. Oh, actually, no, it wasn't a CM Punk question. Excuse me. It was a former manager of CM Punk, Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman guy. I heard that there's bad blood, real life bad blood, between Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff. Is that true?
Yes.
Really?
That goes back. Hell, that goes back to back in the WCW days.
Well, yeah, because apparently they were saying that ECW was like trying to pluck all WCW's top talent and stuff like that, and Bischoff was getting irritated with it.
Yeah, and, you know, then the thing is, when Vince McMahon let ECW come to Raw, do you guys remember that? That was another thing that hurt Bischoff, because, okay, these two companies are working together against me, you know? And, yeah, Paul Heyman and Bischoff have not got along since WCW, and that's a long time ago, you know?
When
Paul Heyman left WCW, what's the first thing he did? He started ECW. And,
Client. Now, I've always liked Paul Heyman. I even liked Paul Heyman when he was, general manager of SmackDown in 04, early 04. I even like that. I mean, but you know what's funny is they actually played off of the bad blood between the two when in 04 when they went to redo the draft again, and it was Bischoff and Heyman, and Bischoff drafted Paul Heyman to Raw, and he refused to work for Eric Bischoff, so he quit, and then obviously Kurt Angle became general manager of Raw. I mean, of course, it was kayfabe. It was kayfabe, of course. And then, you know, the next year, in 05, you know, ECW invades, you know, WWE again. So I just thought that was kind of cool because, you know, they took, like, a real-life heat and sort of made a kayfabe story around it. I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, you know, Paul Heyman doesn't really get along with many people. I mean, he had issues with Jim Ross, too. You know, if you could go back to those Raws, when it was Jim Ross and Paul Heyman, when Paul Heyman first debuted as a commentator with Jim Ross said, and he wasn't being sarcastic about it either. He said, "What did I ever do to deserve this? Right now, next to me in broadcasting is Paul Heyman. What did I do to deserve this?" Those two didn't get along either. That's what made them...
Are you sure that wasn't just for the broadcast? That wasn't just for TV?
No. Those two hate each other, too.
Oh, wow.
Because...
I heard a Jim Ross Shoot interview. Him and Paul Dangerously, Paul Heyman, don't get along at all. And that goes back to WCW as well.
All right, well, I didn't know that. See, I learned something new today.
Okay. And I know this is a wrestling show, but I got to let everybody know, the Vikings have the ball with 1:40. They're up 24-10 in the fourth quarter. And they're working on running out the clock. So I think the Vikings are going to go 4-0 today. Thank you very much. And also praise to Roman Reigns, a former Minnesota Viking. Used to wear number 69. Brock Lesnar used to be a Viking, too. He also wore number 69. But, of course, their careers in Minnesota didn't last very long, as you know. They went to wrestling instead. There's another little tidbit for you guys that think I don't know anything. Okay. Go ahead. Let's continue with the show. I just had to get that up. It felt good.
Well, that's okay. Disconnecting here in a minute anyway, because we're done with our topics and stuff. But let me let me say this, Jason. My buddy, and we will stay on sports for 1 second. My buddy, who's a Giants fan, lives up here with me in upstate New York, says, I've had Eli's back all these years, no more. Eli, he's saying, he goes, I don't think Eli has it anymore. He goes, I understand Minnesota's got the number two defense in the league. He goes, but you've got the best receiving core, or at least one of them, in the league between Shepard, Cruz, and Beckham when healthy. He goes, and you can't connect with them. Eli's been overthrowing and underthrowing and misthrowing all night long. He goes, I think Eli might finally be done. So, I mean, I know that this is more of a topic for tomorrow or Thursday shows, but do you think that there's any sentiment in that statement, or is Eli just having a bad night?
Well, here's the deal.
I think it's a little of both, though. I do think the Giants might need to explore a quarterback. They need to get a solid.
Well,
you know,
like Nassib?
The situation with Eli, and the Vikings just kneel down. They're going to run off the clock. They're going to win 24-10. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to my Vikings commentary. But anyway, I think the whole deal with Eli Manning, I think that's one of the reasons that Tom Coughlin lost his job, because he stuck with Eli Manning. Do you guys agree?
I will give you this. I did not think Carson Wentz was going to be as good as he's been in the beginning of the season. I'll give you that.
Well, here's the deal, though. I knew that Carson Wentz, once he got his opportunity, he was going to be just fine. Speaking of Carson Wentz, you know, he was in Fargo this weekend, you know. He was here for the Bison taking out the Redbirds.
Don't you love that hair, that Odell Beckham Jr. hair? I love it.
Jeez, I hate it.
It looks, you know,
Jason, I know that you usually wear your hair. You either wear your head bald or you wear it like really short. But you should maybe do the Beckham wig for Halloween. Beckham hair.
Look, Beckham looks like, his hair looks like a feather.
Probably.
I think you can pull it off. I really do. I think I've decided I'm going to be Charlotte for Halloween. So anyway, we are out of time here. We went through all of our topics. It actually was a very productive show. We had a massive amount of topics. We covered them all in an hour and a half. Same time, same place. I know we've had a couple of weeks where we've had to be on Wednesdays, but not the case. We took you through Raw. We saw a new women's champion crowned on Raw. And just goes to show you the state of the WWE when the women's title match is the main event. It just goes to show you that the number one storyline right now is with those ladies. And that's perfectly fine. Like I said, it's a new era. It's 2016. It's a new day, and that's not a pun. I mean, pun was not intended there, but now that I think about it, sure, that was a good pun, but it is a new day in WWE, and I'm fine with having a women's champion match, but it just goes to show you there used to be world title defenses constantly, and I don't think I've seen a world title defense on Raw since last spring. So it's been some time. So that's our show today. And make sure you check us out, overtime.news. This show is going to be loaded and put on the site. Icon, I do have some news for you, Jason, you as well. I'm doing some ordering. I'm going to be doing a commercial with Logo Warehouse, Logo Warehouse's Michelle Taylor tomorrow, doing some more commercials. She's going to be ordering like Livestrong type bracelets, like those kind of bracelets. Be ordering a whole bunch of those for us, as well as hoodies, yoga pants, and long sleeve tees, as well as a few short sleeve tees. So Icon, I will get your Icon shirt that will also have overtime.news on it. I will get that out to you. You just got to get me a size. You don't have to tell me what it is on the air. You can message it to me, and give me a size. And then Jason, I got to get you a couple t-shirts as well. As well as some long sleeves, some hoodies, some whatever, and we will go from there. So merchandise is popping. I'm also letting you guys know this first before the other shows know this, and that is we're going to be opening up a web store on overtime.news. Basically, what the web store is, it's going to give us all of the options. You can order a hoodie. You can order a long-sleeve tee. You can order a short-sleeve tee. You can order, you know, bracelets. You can order yoga pants. You can order, we're going to have condoms. We're going to have breathalyzers. We're going to have pencils, pens, anything. You name it. Scrunchies, hair tie, whatever. We're going to have it. You order it on the site. It is made directly by Logo Warehouse and shipped to you from them. They get a percentage. We get a percentage. But you're going to be able to go on and order it just like you go on and order on any other website shop. And everything's always in stock, and it's always available within a week. And it's going to be good stuff. I mean, we're really going places with this site. We're really excited about it. So,
and I have an added bonus. I have an added bonus.
What's up?
If anybody buys an Icon shirt, I'll give an address where you can send it to me. I will autograph it personally for you. If you buy an Icon shirt or anything that says Icon on it, I will personally autograph it to them more later.
So there we go. The Icon shirts will be up on there as well. Don't know what the prices of this stuff is going to be yet, but once the web store is up, we can determine all of that. It's also a good way to get you guys paid as well, because the more money we bring in, the more money we can show you guys for your contributions to us. So we are going in the right direction. We've just slowly going in the right direction, but hey, welcome to building a company in LLC from scratch. That's what happens when you start from scratch and you build your own business. But we are going places. We are getting there. We've got the Icon. We've got JSmooth. We've got Swigs. And I'll tell you, I couldn't do it last week because I didn't have internet, but I'm going to – oh, shit. Hold on, let me sit up. But I'm going to do it this week.
That was actually pretty funny how you said that. You couldn't.
Yeah, well, I was laying down for a second. I had the thing, like, connected to me, and then I was laying down. All right, we will see you next week, and I have something special for us next week. This is a preview. What's special for us next week is the number one edge moment. That is right. The number one edge moment. And that starts next week. We'll see you.
You think you know me?